The message for today is entitled The Thankful Leper. It's quite a familiar message. Many of you have heard it. We've studied it in Sunday school. But let us pay attention to what the Lord has to speak to us through this very simple topic, and yet we can draw many lessons from it. Now, the text that we have read from Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Now, this text, it helps us to assess our gratitude as it points out certain characteristics essential in developing an attitude of gratitude or thankfulness. Now, these lepers that we read about, they help us see ourselves and where we are in our gratitude to God. The take-home principle from this event is gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ deepens as our awareness of spiritual estrangement becomes personal. Now, one of the themes of the scripture text is that gratitude to God is the indispensable evidence of grace received. Now, there are three key words, and the three key words begins with G. And these words unfold the whole structure of true religion in the story of the lepers. The first G is guilt. The second G, grace. And the third G, gratitude. That is how important a thankful spirit is for all of us. Because of our guilt, the grace that we receive, and the gratitude that we have for the love of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, this is something that we need to check ourselves. Do we always give thanks for all that we have received, be it good or bad? Now, first, let's look into the first thing, leprosy in biblical times. Let us see what it was like before. Now, we read, Lord Jesus is on the last journey of his life, traveling to his death in Jerusalem. He's making no attempt to escape because he came into the world to give his life a ransom for all mankind. We deserve eternal death because we are sinners. But God has provided deliverance and atonement through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. There were people Lord Jesus had to meet before his end in Jerusalem. He had to meet some lepers from a little male leper colony. Now, the leprosy described in the Gospels was probably something different from the leprosy of today, which has been known as Hansen's disease from 1873. Now, in the Old Testament, the word leprosy refers to a variety of infectious skin diseases. Although the Bible's mention of leprosy may have referred to an array of skin diseases, leprosy was indeed and in existence at the time of our Lord Jesus. So here were men who all had some kind of leprosy, and so they had to live under the Levitical exclusion code, as written in the whole of Leviticus chapter 13. A person suspected of the infectious disease is required to have the priest to examine him, and if it is an infectious skin disease, the priest will pronounce him unclean. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," as he walks the street to warn the public of this contagious disease. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp, as recorded in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. The man's only companions would be men in the same state as himself. All his conversations were with men as wretched as he was, bearing the same disfiguring marks. Neither he nor his friends were permitted to visit their families. They were unemployed, and they depended on handouts from friends and sympathetic people. There was no medicine, no ointment, no doctor, and no cure. Their only hope would be that the disease might eventually burn itself out and the sores would grow smaller and leave just a scar. Then he could go to the priest and show his body to him. The priest's role would be that of a local health inspector who would announce at the next synagogue meeting that whatever was the name of the leper had finally recovered from his leprosy and was allowed to return to his family and live in the village again. Lepers longed for that day. Now, the cure of a leper was as difficult as raising a person from the dead. In biblical history, only two people had been cured of leprosy. Miriam had leprosy for 7 days, and through the prayers of Moses, she was healed supernaturally. The other was Naaman, the commander-in-chief of the Syrian army, a heathen from Damascus. When he obeyed Prophet Elijah's instruction to wash 7 times in the Jordan River, he too was healed supernaturally. Lepers can't have social contact with the clean members of society, and so they form their own society of the unclean and untouchables. It was no life for them in utter isolation from normal human contact. You know, we are told that misery likes company, and thus the leper colonies were formed. People kept away from these leper colonies. Now, some years back, we had a ministry to the View Road Hospital, which is a hospital for people who were mentally incapacitated. They were not nice to be with. The condition of the hospital was not like Shangri-La Hotel. It was quite bad. But the Lord led us to that ministry there, and we went there every week to serve them. But you know, because of the condition and the difficulty of ministering to the people there, the response from the people of the church was not encouraging. So week after week, certain groups were assigned, but sometimes I think the groups assigned never turned up. But I thank God, even once when my group was asked to go, I was the only one present with my wife. So you see, people are afraid to be sent for ministries where the people are not nice or not good to look at or not hygienic, and the place itself, so we keep away. And you know, the Lord closed that ministry, so that was taken away from us. But we thank God that the word of God was preached to those people, and I know from memory, 2 of them were baptized. Today, it is the same concern that we should have for Jueng Home. Jueng Home is not a place where you find kids running around. You find people who are sick, people who cannot move their hands, dementia, and they are not the most hygienic lot. So that's why it worries me when I hear that the response from people who are assigned to go there week after week is very, very bad. So let us not become like those who are afraid. They are not lepers in the colonies there. They are people yearning to receive the love of Christ through all of us and to hear the word of God. Let's go on to the next one. Meeting of Lord Jesus and the lepers. Now one day, these 10 lepers saw a small crowd of people walking up to the road to the outskirts of the village. They soon learned that it was actually Lord Jesus of Nazareth and his disciples on the way to Jerusalem. Everyone had heard of Lord Jesus. For over 2 years, he had been the source of conversation at every well, at all the town gates, and after the synagogue meetings. And the question which every one of them had was he the promised Messiah? Was he a crook? These are the same questions asked then and we ask today. Certainly, Lord Jesus was an amazing man, and many of us still find him extraordinary today. We love to meet with him, to hear him speaking, to see him in action, and to know his personality. We love to see him for ourselves, to walk into a village with him and see the response of the people who quickly gather to hear him, seeing how he relates to them, noticing who likes him and why, noticing who hates him and why. So as we read the Gospel of Luke, we can picture Lord Jesus in action. We see that Lord Jesus has a remarkable effect on people. Just a short time with him is enough to make people realize that Lord Jesus is like nobody they have ever met before. As we meet Lord Jesus in the Bible, we find that he welcomes to himself all kinds of people. It doesn't matter who you are, man or woman, grandparent or child, fisherman or farmer, priest or prostitute, soldier or rebel, cop or criminal, ruler or slave, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, healthy or sick, religious or rotten, sensible or demon-possessed. Lord Jesus warmly welcomes anyone who wants to meet him and to know him better. Lord Jesus never hints that he's too important or too busy or too good for anyone, however poor or sick they are. So in meeting Lord Jesus, we meet a combination of humility and authority we won't meet anywhere else. This astonishing union of tenderness and toughness is what we see in the Lord Jesus. One moment, he's cuddling babies. The next moment, he's confronting rulers. One moment, he is lying exhausted and asleep in a boat that's being rocked by a storm. And the next moment, he's ordering the storm around. One moment, he's weeping at his grave of his friend, dear Lazarus. And the next, he's ordering death itself to release his friend. One moment, he's on his knees like a slave, washing other people's dirty feet. The next, he says, he's their Lord and Master. Lord Jesus feels the weakness, pain, and poverty of humanity. And at the same time, he unleashes the power, healing, and abundance of God. He has come in humility, but he claims he will come again as the judge of the entire world in power and glory. He doesn't even have a small hut for a home, yet he strikes through God's temple with a whip in his hand, reforming it as though he owns the place. He doesn't have a penny to his name, yet he talks as though the whole world were his. Could even the least human be humbler and more vulnerable? Could even Almighty God be greater and more powerful? What else can we think except the Lord Jesus must be completely human and at the same time fully divine? So we see Lord Jesus is walking down the road along with a crowd of others heading for a village. And suddenly, they meet a gang of men whose clothes are torn, with hair unkempt, who have angry red sores on their heads and the back of their hands and arms, who are covering their mouths and jaws, but shouting out, "Unclean, unclean." They are lepers and they have spotted Lord Jesus. What a surprise for them that he should come to the borders of Samaria. It is the best of all surprises to meet Lord Jesus in an unexpected way. The Apostle Paul also met Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Peter and Andrew were mending their nets when they met Lord Jesus. We too have met Lord Jesus when two or three gather together in his name at the worship service and prayer meetings. Are you aware of that? That we are meeting with the Lord Jesus as we sit this moment here. And how do we know that? Because Matthew in 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We have the Lord Jesus here with us, which is why it is very important for us to give him the due honor and respect. So stop coming late for the worship. So let's go on to the next point, the cry of the lepers. Now we read in verses 12 and 13 that there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus is on the move. He's walking with destiny. Why should he stop for unclean lepers? What if they passed on their diseases to him or his disciples? Why should they make a scene and interfere with his schedule? But the lepers wouldn't give up. They called out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus didn't seem to mind at all. The lepers asked for mercy, a familiar cry that they have been uttering ever since they were diagnosed with leprosy and cast out of the village. They don't ask for healing, but for mercy, for whatever Lord Jesus might give them. They knew Lord Jesus' reputation for compassion. They felt they were men without a life and without a future. And then one day, along came Lord Jesus and everything changed. These lepers became fervently religious. They had felt acutely the deplorable state of their bodies. They hated their isolation from everybody and the hovels they had to live in. And when they saw Lord Jesus, they found words to express their feelings. They cried earnestly for relief when the chance of relief suddenly appeared before their very eyes. Now we see at all times, buildings collapse and people are trapped. An airline disappears or crashes and suddenly all the people, the local people, even the politicians say they are praying for the victims. A loved one is going to have a major operation and even the godless person prays. All those people are like these 10 lepers. It throws light on a most important phenomenon of how earnestly people will pray when they reach the end of their tethers, when they know that man alone cannot help them. And yet, they will never pray at all when they have no need. So how is it that mortal men and women, with souls to be lost or saved, facing the grave, can know so little of a real, hearty, business-like praying? We ask, why this prayerlessness? The answer? The bulk of mankind has no sense of guilt and helplessness before God. They don't feel their spiritual disease. They are not conscious that they are lost and guilty and hanging over the brink of hell. When a man finds out that he has the leprosy of sin and there is no human cure, then he quickly learns to pray for delivery. Like a leper, he finds words to express his want. He cries for help. So let's ask ourselves, whenever we are in need, we pray earnestly. So let's ask ourselves this one question. How do we pray yesterday? Was it more than a standard prayer or more than repeating the Lord's Prayer? Could we answer that we have prayed like this lepers in our text? They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If we had prayed like the lepers, good. If we had not, then why not pray that very prayer and in that earnest way? Don't we need to pray like that? Isn't Lord Jesus the Savior? Isn't Lord Jesus the Master of this world and the world to come? Can't Lord Jesus help us to be delivered from the leprosy of sin? Who else can do it? No one. Don't we all too need to the mercy of God? Then how is it that we pray so infrequently and coldly? What is the reason that our prayers are so feeble and wandering and lukewarm as they frequently are? There is no need for us to seek some deep psychological examination. The answer is very plain. Our sense of the need of God in our life is weak. Our longing for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is not as vital as it ought to be, and we are not aware of our own importance. So be warned, we are suffering from spiritual leprosy. So even though we may be coming to church week after week, but if we do not fervently pray, then we need to be question ourselves, what is wrong? In Isaiah 6, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, the prophet says, and let me paraphrase that, your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and bruises and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. So we see here, sin has perversely affected all of us, but we don't see it that we are sick through sin and leprous through sin and dying through sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So sin is not to be taken lightly. The wages of sin is death. There is no part of us untouched by sin. We are indeed unclean, unclean. Now this unclean, unclean doesn't mean you didn't take your bath, you know. It is the uncleanness in the heart. But we are covering our leprous spots with cosmetics, trying to mask our true condition. We are not calling out fervently for mercy and grace. And that's why sometimes when we talk to people about the seriousness of sin, they discount it by saying that I'm not that bad a sinner. Why? I don't murder. I don't rob. I don't rape. I don't do all that. So I'm good. You see? So they seem to discount the true definition of sin. And that's the trap that we can get into when we think that sin has a degree. Good sin, bad sin, light sin, heavy sin. Sin is sin. Okay? So Lord Jesus says in Matthew, for those of us who are struggling with sin, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look at these 10 lepers. Did you ever see such heavy laden men in your life who were desperate, who saw Jesus and ran because they wanted to be healed? They knew they were hopeless men, and they knew that here was the only one who could save them. And spontaneously they cried to him to have pity on them. They were so conscious of their need for cleansing and new life and deliverance. For Romans 6:23 continues, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we read about the publican in the temple in Luke 18:13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican couldn't look up to God. No one gave him his lesson in posture before God. He beat his breast and he sighed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do we do that in our own lives? Now, John Bunyan, he's the author of the English literature, The Pilgrim's Progress. We may have heard of that. Now, he portrays the aroused sinner as follows. There is an increasing burden on his back which weighs him down. He has heard the law of his Creator and every one of the 10 words, referring to the 10 commandments, seems to press him down like a hundredweight. What are these 10 words? No other God before him. All these things are bothering these people, according to John Bunyan. 2, no idols to serve and make sacrifice to. 3, no lacing your speech with the Lord's name. 4, remembering one day each week as presented to God. 5, honoring your parents. 6, doing no violence. 7, no sexual sin, purity before marriage, and faithfulness in it. 8, stealing nothing. 9, always telling the truth. And 10, being contented with what you have and coveting nothing that is your neighbor's. Now these words come from the only God there is, the God who is light and just and hates all that is mean and tawdry and cruel. The man who hears the law discovers his burden is getting heavier and heavier, and this is chargeable to his account, a mountain of iniquity, and God will punish him for every defection. He says, I am sick and I need a physician. I am guilty and I need pardon. I am being crushed by this burden and I need someone who can take it away. Is this the question that is in you now who are outside of the kingdom of God? When that thought begins to press in upon us and we know that it is true, then we begin to be heavy laden and we see our great need and we long for someone to deliver us from that need, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who says in Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. What kind of sinners? In the same sermon, Lord Jesus says in Luke 5:31, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So those of us here who think we are goody-goodies, this is not referring to us. But for those who say that I am rotten, I am useless, I am heading for hell, these are the ones who are the sick ones, and they need the doctor. The healthy people of this village where the lepers were in the text were all busily going about their daily lives. They were working and shopping and drawing water and cooking for their families and talking at the city gate. And these people, they were not crying, unclean, unclean. Only the lepers were crying, unclean, unclean. They were not outcasts, yearning to be part of the community. They were not sick people aching for health, leprous men longing for cleansing. They were saying that they are fine. Are we in that group? They were not calling with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They were not persuaded that they needed Lord Jesus coming and healing them, or they would die. Here were 10 men, lepers, and they had one aching longing that this Lord Jesus of Galilee, whom they have heard and had delivered and healed hundreds of others, would heal them. And so they shouted and shouted to him to come to them. You know, no one is changed by Christ unless they see that they have an enormous need, and no one is changed by Christ unless they have cried to Christ alone to meet that need. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. For those of you here today who are unbelievers and not a born-again Christian, be warned. For in Acts 4:12 it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only name that can save us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, none other name but Christ alone. Cry to Lord Jesus like these lepers did, and no one who cried to Lord Jesus ever cried in vain. Put yourself in his hands entirely. Run to the great physician that he would heal you. Cry and cry to him. Lord Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and there is sight for the blind. Lord Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and there is life for the dead. Lord Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and there is cleansing for the leper. So call out in a loud voice, Master Jesus, have mercy on me. Now let's go on to the next one, the transformed lepers. Let's look at this transformed leper. Now we read in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now Lord Jesus looked at these 10 lepers, and he took in their plight in all its awfulness. He did not run away. He did not turn away. He knew all about them, and he loved them. Lord Jesus was indeed mighty in mercy. Lord Jesus told them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. Now the significance of the priest in Lord Jesus' instruction is that only the priest, according to Jewish law, can declare a person healed of leprosy, clean and fit to re-enter society. Present yourself to them, all 10 of you, go. Lord Jesus made no exception. Some could have been in advanced stages of their disease. Their nerve endings were dead, so their feet and hands had become impervious to pain. They had lost their fingers and toes. Mere stumps were left. Others lacked their noses and ears. But in spite of whatever state of their condition was, none was omitted as being too diseased or too unworthy. Go, he said to every one of them, Jew and Samaritan alike. What did Lord Jesus not do? He did not lay his hands on the lepers. He did not need to do that. He did not command the disease to depart. He did not practice any medicine, ointments, or lotions for soothing their skin. The entire source of their healing was focused on Lord Jesus and his word. Healing became theirs as they obeyed the Lord Jesus' voice, and they were cured. Every single one of them was cleansed. The most deformed of them was healed. Now, how do you explain that? With one being healed, you could say it was a coincidence that Lord Jesus arrived as he was getting better. But all 10 were healed at different stages of their illness. It was simply amazing. The lepers went to the priests at Lord Jesus' command. The change in them was effected through doing something so elementary, which is so difficult for us to even think about. What did they do so elementary? Listen and obey. We may protest that this is too simple, but we are simple people. It shows us the wisdom of listening to every word of the Lord Jesus and doing them, putting them into practice, not thinking we are smarter, that there is a better way, that you can borrow some of God's ideas and synthesize them with your ideas, picking and mixing men with God. Our Lord spoke plainly and unmistakably, prescribing the infallible means of their cure, and in their unhesitating obedience, they became men made new. So if we love life and want good days, then we must listen wholeheartedly to the words of Christ, seek to understand them correctly, and then to do them. And that is what the 10 men did. Do we do that? Very simple. Listen and obey. Many of us are very good at listening, but we struggle to obey. And in Luke 11:28, it says, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, not disregard it. So had these lepers disbelieved Lord Jesus and laughed at his command as illogical, they would not have been healed. Now some of you here today may be seeking for God, but the Bible says that he, Lord Jesus, is seeking for you, and he has found you here in church once again today. What are you going to do with the God who has again found you? For those of you who have not said the sinner's prayer, you know, God is looking out for you, and God has found you here in this church. He has been speaking to you, and He's speaking still, and He is saying to you, turn from your sins, especially from your sin of unbelief. Believe on me, trust in me, come to me. And as you obey what He says, you will be cleansed from your guilt, forgiven of all your sins, and joined to Lord Jesus, the powerful and loving Savior. So as you obey the Lord Jesus Christ, this new life is yours. The lepers believed the Lord Jesus because they had faith and received their healing as a result. And James 2:17 confirms that. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Let's continue with the point 5, the ungrateful lepers. Only one who came back. These are the other 9. 9 of the 10 newly cleansed lepers made no effort at all to return to Lord Jesus to thank Him for this extraordinary life-transforming deliverance. Now, we can make excuses for these 9, that they were very anxious and excited about seeing their families again, and that they were afraid to identify themselves with Lord Jesus, who has become a marked man. Whatever the excuses, Lord Jesus never saw them again. These 9 were men whose hearts were not melted by the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ that they had received. They took the Lord for granted. Healing, they thought, was what Lord Jesus went about doing. Just like people today who think of God as being bound to forgive them for all their sins because that is what God does. God owes it to me. But they never think of the cost of God's forgiveness or ask on what basis can God possibly remain righteous and just and yet overlook sin and justify the ungodly when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they took the very best that Lord Jesus gave them and they promptly got on with living their lives just as they did before they contracted leprosy, without sparing him a thought. Now in Romans 1:21, Paul says that this was ever been the attitude of all fallen humanity, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So although those people knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. Now we have received every lovely thing that God has given us, every mouthful of food we take, every breath of air we inhale, all the incredible gifts of intelligence, long life, health, loving parents, and of course many material blessings. And yet, are we thanking Him? Or are we just like those 9 ungrateful lepers? You know, I was observing this mother was waiting for the child who was returning from school. You know, the child came, the bus, got off the bus, and the mother was so happy, hugged the child, kissed the child, and then they walked home. It was a very beautiful sight, you know. But you know, it made me ask one question. Do we thank God every day to see our children returning home safe? Do you know how many children get kidnapped, get led away? You know how many children get misled into taking drugs as a way out? Do you know all these things are happening? And our children are spared, but are we thankful? Don't take things for granted, you know. This is a very, very wicked world. Let us always thank God when we see our children returning home safe, to see that they are clean, no drugs, no pornography, no immoral things happening to them. Next, let's look at the grateful leper. One healed leper returned and sought out Lord Jesus. As soon as he saw his skin was clean, this leper came looking for Lord Jesus to express his thanks. He did it immediately. The lepers had called out loudly to ask for mercy. But only this leper offers loud thanksgiving and praise. He put first things first. The number one in his life from that moment on was going to be like the man who had changed him. He was shouting aloud praises to God. He was glorifying the Lord of mercy. And when he got to Lord Jesus, he fell before the Lord prostrate. Where this leper had been asking for mercy, he had stood in the posture of prayer. When he gave thanks for mercy, he knelt down with his face to the ground, stood in the posture of prayer, and when his prayer was answered, he fell at the feet of Jesus. That's his gratitude. When we have cried to God for his help and he has helped us, then our prayers should commensurate with the deliverance we have experienced. Before we forget and other blessings come crushing in, we must thank God for hearing us. We don't deserve them. We have forfeited every right to answered prayer by the sin of our father Adam and our own sin, but God constantly blesses us. Nine men were all healed. Nine men were all sons of Abraham. They believed all the scriptures, unlike the Samaritans. They knew that Jerusalem was the place to worship God and make their sacrifices, unlike the Samaritans. And yet, when the God of Abraham, the God whose house was in Jerusalem, blesses them through the Messiah, they were silent, while this muddled Samaritan, full of theological error, was able to see one thing. I was once a leper, but now I am clean. And Lord Jesus of Nazareth had done this. I will spend the rest of my days blessing and praising him. What did the Lord Jesus say? Arise and go thy way. The man had family to see and joy to give them. Lord Jesus did not call everyone he healed to become full-time evangelists, but all of them were to glorify and enjoy God in all they did. Lord Jesus explained what had been the instrumental means of the leper's deliverance. Thy faith had made thee whole. This leper truly believed Lord Jesus was the master and that it was his mercy that could heal him, the leper. These were not just words. The leper believed this from his heart. And a proof of it was the new praise on his lips, the confession he made to all around that God had delivered him. He was unashamed to humbly fall at Lord Jesus' feet in adoration. It was not enough from the nine to do what Lord Jesus told them and go to the priest. It was not enough to know that God is the one who heals our diseases. We have to seek our Lord Jesus, believing in our hearts and confessing with our lips that he is that all-great, all-merciful, and all-powerful Savior, and worship him with grateful and thankful hearts. So what is the lesson for us? A clear lesson is that Lord Jesus expects us to show gratitude. Lord Jesus was clearly disappointed at the unthankfulness of the nine lepers who didn't return. We must train ourselves to show thanks, to give thanks, and to be filled with thanksgiving. Without being thankful disciples, we won't be pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. A life of thanksgiving is a life of prayer. The nine lepers were saved physically, but not spiritually. Healing that doesn't bring a person to Lord Jesus is incomplete and stunted. In the ministry of full salvation, the healed person must receive salvation and begin to follow Lord Jesus as his disciple in the fellowship of the church. So what is the application to us? One, be thankful even if you are in difficult circumstances. Be thankful in the work of God's goodness. Make sure your thankfulness leads to action. And number four, a lifestyle of thankfulness is a lifestyle of wellness. And five, a life of thanksgiving is a life of prayer. Let me share what it feels like that you did something and you never receive a word of thanks. The thankfulness is not there. You know, this American office, they had Americans and they had Singaporeans. So one day, one of the American men came appealing for blood because his wife needed blood. So he came to the office, he went to the administrator and he said, I need donors to give blood because the Americans, they have to go to the private hospitals and I'm not sure whether they have to pay for the blood or what. So in that office of about 80 people, only two offered to donate the blood out of the whole lot. One American, one Singaporean. So they went and at the hospital, they donated the blood, they came back. And after a few days, this man came to the office and asked the administrator, who are the two who donated the blood? So he said, the American is there, the Singaporean is there. So this man, this is an American, he went up to the American man and he said, oh, thank you, blah, 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 you know, the usual thing. And then he walked past the Singaporean and left the office. Goodbye, he said to the administrator. So you know that Singaporean is wondering, huh? How come? Huh? So you see, you know what the feeling is like? You mean the liquid in the Singaporean gave was red ink. It was also blood. But yet, only the American received the thanks. So this Singaporean went to the American administrator and say, what kind of people are you? You know? And she also didn't give her blood. So people are afraid to do it. And yet when you get these two people willing to do it, it's something. You know? But anyway, the Singaporean was very hurt, but he said, I will never give blood anymore. Actually, he did after that. So can you imagine what's it like? So can you imagine how the Lord Jesus felt? He shed his blood for all of us, but we never say thanks. He gave his life, he watched over us, he assures us of a better place, but we never say thanks. That American is also an Asian, you know? A Filipino. I'm not being a racist. That Singaporean is Indian. That Indian is me. don't clap, please. Okay. So let us hear the exhortation. Okay. The exhortation for us is to rise and go. The world lies before you. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jews, the Samaritans and the Gentiles. Tell the world with a loud voice this good news. Let us close in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we know that we have neglected to thank Thee for so many blessings. Thou, O God, have blessed us and waited for us to return back to Thee with thanks, but we have gone our way. We have taken Thee for granted. Please forgive us. Put thankfulness into our heart and soul. Help us to speak it, sing it, and live it, that we might be a visible and not a silent example of one whom thou hast healed. In thy mercy we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.